nothing gets in the way of any of my choices. And in both cases, you may believe in Jesus Christ, but he's really not your primary love. You're actually, you overlove family, or you overlove individual freedom, and you don't love Christ, and he's not as much a source of your actual self-image and your identity. And that's why I'm saying ultimately to be over-desirous or under-desirous of marriage is a spiritual problem. It just means that there's something defective about your actual relationship with Jesus, where you wouldn't go in either direction.
Yeah, I think as a single, my energy for life came from times of scripture reading and prayer where I experienced that God actually was caring about the specifics of my life. And over time, that became more important than the specifics, if that makes sense. It, that he cared about it was more important than what the circumstances were. I think as we were approaching our marriage, it was important to me that to sort of discern if he had that as well. Did he have a sense of who he was with God that would enable us to at least be on somewhat the same page in what sustained us and what gave us the energy to live. And so the goal of my singleness and the goal of our marriage wasn't just to find a path away from the thorns and thistles. It was to be able to walk into them with some love and strength and partnership with a real live God.
Yeah, you know, a key thing to understand is that neither marriage nor singleness can bring complete fulfillment and satisfaction to us. Most of us have experienced this, but we sometimes think it's our marriage partner or something else that's the problem that is preventing us from having complete satisfaction. However, the Bible teaches that marriage is inherently penultimate. It's not the ultimate thing. It wasn't created to give you complete satisfaction. It points to the fact that we're all built for God to be married to him. And that is indeed how the book, the Bible, ends, married to God. What difference does that make to our married or our single state?
Well, I mean, I think that that's really where the freedom comes in, because I think disappointment comes from expectations, right? Not fulfilled. Going into it saying like, wow, this person is not going to fulfill my every need, that they are flawed, that they are broken, is actually really freeing, because you then can say, I'm also broken and I'm also flawed. And there's something nice about having your eyes wide open and knowing that ultimately God is giving you a taste of something, a perfect version of that one day with him. So just enough hope in Christ, but not so much that you're clinging on to your husband for dear life.
I certainly have realized that I'm far from perfect. And Catherine has shown me that she's not perfect either. I think one of the things, rather than the end game, rather than seeing, you know, the end where we're all, as the church, part of the bride of Christ, the thing that has been very significant in our marriage, and for me individually as well as in the marriage, is the experience of really being forgiven. It's the reception of grace that comes that enables me to forgive her when that's needed, not because I'm so good, because I'm not, but because I'm forgiven. That's been something that I've clung to, and I think that we have.
I'm going to butcher a C.S. Lewis quote. I'm actually not even going to paraphrase it, but I remember C.S. Lewis saying basically that, you know, there's suffering and hardship, but enough joy so that you are still reminded of the hope, but to also remind you that this isn't your home, that the world is not your home.
Yeah, that's a good way to...
And to not get those things confused. And so I appreciate that, because I think, yeah, I think it's not a big news flash that the world and life.